You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless, amazing entrepreneurs that are ready to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and you want to get it to the next level. Maybe you already have a six-figure business and you want to elevate it to the heights of success. I have all the goods for you, my lovelies, and all I need from you is to take massive, massive action. Today, we are talking to Denise Duffield Thomas. She is a money mindset mentor for the new wave of online female entrepreneurs. Her best-selling books, Lucky Bitch and Get Rich, Lucky Bitch, gives a fresh, funny roadmap to create an outrageously successful life and business. Denise helps women release their fear of money, set premium prices for their services, and take back control over their finances. She is one amazing, fascinating woman, you guys. And trust me, I had a ton of fun on this interview and we really just hit it off. And this is an amazing, amazing interview for y'all to really listen to, and this is going to help you change your mindset about money. So go find Denise on social media. She is at www.luckybitch.com, and you can find show notes for this particular episode on our website, womenpreneursuccess.com/Denise. And I am not going to let you wait anymore because this is too much fun.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
Fabulous. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming in all the way from Australia.
Yes. Well, thanks to the power of technology, I didn't even need to leave my house.
Right?
Yeah.
So is it, what's the weather like right now? Is it cold, hot?
You know what? We're about to go into spring in Australia and it's up and down. One day it's hot, one day it's cold. And for me, part of my brand actually is summer. And it's been really tricky over winter to still kind of portray that feeling of summer when it's been freezing.
Right?
Yeah.
So are you a winter cold person or are you a warm person?
Oh, I hate winter. I want to live in summer breeze all year round. I would go to the beach all year round if I could, but it's been pretty cold here, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I know. Well, tell me about it. I hate winter. I'm not a north. I live in Houston, Texas, which is super hot. And for me, as soon as it gets 70, I'm like, maybe I should bring my like a little pullover out. And then it's like 65. I'm like, all right, blanket and maybe socks and I don't know what else. So
yeah, let's put it into perspective. When I'm saying it's freezing as well, I'm meaning like, yeah, you have to wear jeans rather than shorts.
Yeah, you go, girl. Yeah. I'm with you. I work. Yeah, totally. Awesome.
We're with you.
I love that. I know. Awesome. I am so excited to have you on, Denise. You're amazing. I love your branding. I love everything about your website. I've looked at some of your YouTube videos, and they're awesome. I love the fact that you're so brazen and you're so out there. So tell me a little bit about yourself, and have you always been like that?
Wow, yeah, great question. I think I've gone in and out of it. You know, I think if I look back at when I was really little girl and I wanted to help people, I wanted to teach, I wanted to do public speaking, you know, I wanted to do all that stuff. And I found, though, when I became a teenager, and suddenly you start to get feedback, right? It's like you're too loud or you're too bossy or girls don't do that. And I think I started holding myself back at different points. And then I went to university and I was very involved in my business club and that extrovert side came out again. You know, I was public speaking, I was speaking at a lot of leadership conferences for young people. And then I went into the world of real work. Mm-hmm. I worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers for a couple of years. And again, I felt that light dim because I was given lots of feedback by my manager, like you're too loud, you need to be a bit more conservative, you keep on doing things without asking for permission. And then, you know, it's gone up and down for me. And I think now I'm only really coming back into myself where I'm like, I don't care what people think. You know, you can create your own rules. You can create your own life. And don't listen to people when they tell you that your personality is not to their liking, I think is what I found. And there's so much freedom in just being yourself and giving yourself permission to be exactly who you are, no matter what.
I love that. So, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with even finding or, you know, coming up with who they really are, you know, because a lot of times we tend to mold ourselves based on either what people around us are telling us or what they're expecting of us. In fact, I work with a lot of women that are just, you know, they're ready to quit their job and they're jumping into their entrepreneurial world. And a lot of times, you know, people are lost because they're not able to really define themselves. You know, because some of us, like, you've been doing this for a while, so I guess you kind of tell it like it is, and this is how you are, and that's your authenticity. What would you say to maybe people that are just starting out to really, I mean, how can they find their own authentic self when they are, you know, a little lost?
Well, the first thing to know is that everyone feels the same way. And that's the tricky thing when we think we're the only ones struggling with this. I'm the only one who feels like a fraud. Everyone else has got their shit together and I don't. And that's
girl, I've been through that imposter syndrome. I probably go through it like once every month.
Totally. And you need to know that everyone does. That's the first thing. And it's tricky to trust yourself and give yourself permission to be exactly who you are. And I find that a lot of women, they start to circle back to things that they really loved as a kid, you know, and the things that you just did, you give yourself permission and trust that instinct that those things are not only valid, but they're allowed, and you're allowed to make money from things that are really easy for you. And that's the tricky thing. We feel like, I think the conditioning is that work has to be hard, money has to be hard. So when it comes easy, we push that away and just go, well, that can't be it. It can't be that easy.
Right.
I remember when I first started coaching and I got off the first couple of coaching calls and I just went, wow, this is what I'm meant to be doing. And actually this is what I've been doing my whole life. And I remember my little sister who's 19 years younger than me. So she's really much younger. And she said, oh, do people just pay to like be their friend and like just talk to them? And it made me feel like, wow, she's right. This is too easy. And I started doubting myself as well and thinking, well, maybe I still have to search for what that thing is instead of just trusting that when it's easy, then and if it's something that you've been doing naturally your whole life, just trust it and go with it.
Right. Absolutely. I definitely want to talk about money blocks, but I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name Lucky Bitch?
It's so funny. I won a competition to go traveling around the world for 6 months, all expenses paid. And I wrote about this in my first book, Lucky Bitch. And all of my friends, because I kept on saying to them, I'm going traveling next year. And then I was like, oh, and I found this competition, I'm going to win it. And they were like, really? Like, everyone was just like, Denise, that's not going to happen. And then I was like, hey, guys, I got into the top 50. And then I was like, I got into the top 10. You know, it's the finals this weekend. I'm going to win it. And like, I told my boss I was going to quit my job. Like, I was just all in. And they were just like, oh, you are such a lucky bitch. And then when I won it, people were just like, oh, you are so lucky. And I talk about this in my book, right? It's like, no one just plucked me out of a hat. I had to just go all in to win that competition because it was a job interview, essentially, right? And when you read about all the things that I did compared to the other contestants who were just like, oh, yeah, I'll put my hat in for this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of inevitable, and that's how I see success. And I think you can hack any success down to, well, what do you do? What do you do next? And what do you do next? And, yes, there's a luck element involved, but really it's about, you know, that I think it's what that definition of luck, it's opportunity meets preparation or something like that. And so I just went, let's just play with that, because no matter what is good in your life and whatever you've worked for, there's always going to be someone who just dismisses it as luck and just goes, oh, you're so lucky that you've got a great husband. It's like, well, no, I manifested him and I put the work in. Or it's, I say this to my friend, I'm like, you're so lucky you can wear a bikini. And she's like, bitch, I get up every morning and run. I'm like, no, it's just luck. And she's like, no, I really do get up every morning and run. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a funny play on it. It's a funny play on the fact that people are going to think it's luck. It's a play on gratitude as well. You know, I constantly say, I am so lucky, not because I'm bragging, but more of a gratitude of an acknowledgement of good things that happen. And when I think anyone who knows about gratitude practice, when you acknowledge all the good stuff that happens in your life, more good stuff seems to appear. So it's not about being a bitch, you know. And I think if people hear the name and they don't know me, they might think it's coming from a harsh kind of place. It's really not. It's coming from a fun, lighthearted place to just – and I'm actually looking – I've got something on my wall that says count your lucky stars. That's what it's about to me. It's that – you know, acknowledging the blessing in your life and acknowledging the fact that anything that you want to be, do and have can be worked for.
Absolutely. It's the hustle, right? It's that every day you do something that's moving your business forward. I love the name. I love the name Lucky Bitch. I love your attitude because I think it totally resonates with me. So I'm just like, yeah, that's perfect. But I am sure there are people that probably get offended. So I would love to know, how do you deal with, have you ever gotten hate mail?
When I first changed the name, because before I was very polite, I call my business the Inspired Life Formula, you know, very kind of generic. And I remember the photo shoot, I was like wearing a trench coat and I was like, had a little handbag. And I was being very polite and nice. And I did get a few people who just said, look, I can't be in your world anymore. I don't like the word bitch. And I just said, that's fine. You know, release you with love. I totally appreciate it. And, you know, I want you to see where I'm coming from. But I got less than I thought I was going to. And I think it's because it really came from an authentic place. And it's just a great way. I think when you're really bold in what you stand for, it's a great way to sift out your peeps versus not your peeps. You know, and I remember one lady, she was like, you really shouldn't talk about unprofessional things like vaginas because it's so unprofessional. And I just thought, you're not my peep and that's okay.
That's right. Absolutely. So let's talk about, you're big into astrology.
I am actually, yeah.
Right. Awesome. So how did you get into it? Because I'm into astrology, maybe not as big as you, but I totally believe in it. And how do you use it for your everyday business?
I think with any tool like that, I use it as a positive anchor, I would say. So sometimes you need a little bit of guidance, and I find it, this is just me, I find it really hard to trust my intuition sometimes, and I find it hard to start from scratch with stuff. You know, I feel like I need something just to say, hey, here's a suggestion or here's an idea. And so I use it in lots of ways. I use it to come up with blog post ideas. So I had a massive, big year-long reading done by one of my astrologers. And she gave me a theme for every month. And I was And I was like, well, that's great because I need to come up with a year's worth of blog content, you know. And so I just used it as like to spark off ideas because she was saying, okay, so July for you is going to be about family and, you know, staying close to home. And so I was like, okay, well, what can I write about that month? And I was like, well, why don't I write about kids and money and dealing with your partner's money blocks? And so I use it not as a dogmatic, like this is how I'm going to live my life, but I use it just for inspiration.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about money blocks.
Yes.
Because that's a lot. You know, I think you just give all your peeps so much value with money blocks. And definitely, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially women, getting into business have a ton of those.
Yeah.
How do you get the imposter syndrome and money blocks together so that they are rid of them?
Yes. Well, again, exactly as I said at the start of the call, is the acknowledgement that everyone has blocks around money in some way. Most people have some sort of negative thought pattern around money and wealth. It's very rare for me to find women who don't have money blocks. It's actually not that rare for me to find men who don't, on the surface, don't feel the same way about money. They're just like, oh, it's black and white. You know, I have a service, that person's going to pay for it. Let's exchange and go away happy. So I find for men, they're either not aware of them or it's just not close to the surface. So for me, I was like, oh, it's too hard to dig into, to find it, sift through for men. Whereas for women, I find it's such gratifying work because it's so close to the surface in everything that we do. And we think we're the only ones who have it. We think everyone else has got it together. And that's why I think it's very dangerous when women start to copycat each other or they crowdsource their pricing. They go, guys, what should I charge for this? Because everyone's got money blocks and you're really basing your business on other people's money blocks if you do that. So acknowledge the fact that everyone has them. Everyone feels the same way. Everyone's got their own thing that they're very triggered about with money, whether it's pricing or asking or having boundaries with clients. It's definitely a money block as well. So that's the first step, right? Acknowledge that everyone feels like a fraud when it comes to money. No one knows what they're doing, so don't copy other people's prices. Don't copy other people's business because we think we're the only ones making it up, but everyone's making it up. That's absolutely the first place to start.
Yes, and I think, and that's so true because it's the same with marketing, right? People tend to copy other people's messages or other people's stuff. And I, so many times I've seen where, oh, this is working for so-and-so. So let me go ahead and use it in my business, but maybe that's not your personality or maybe that's not what your authentic self is. So that's not going to work for you. I think it's so important to just kind of think about, you know, what makes you authentic. And really take that in your business.
Absolutely.
So tell me about, tell me a little bit more about money blocks and how, you know, how do people get over it?
Yeah.
How do you help women kind of say, okay, fine, I am, you know, I might feel like I have the imposter syndrome, but I'm still going to stand up and charge for what I deserve.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's a good thing to know, right? Having money blocks is not a sign that you're not meant to have money. Having money blocks doesn't mean anything except that you're a very normal person. And I think some people think that absence of money blocks is the answer, and it's not. And even I'm guilty of this as well, because in a lot of my branding and my books and my boot camp, I say clear your money blocks. But the truth is you can never really clear them completely. You just learn to dance with them and you learn to move forward anyway. And I'll give you an example of some that have come up for women in my community. So the first thing that you do to identify your own money block is to look at situations that feel icky to you or feel hard or heavy or you have resistance around. So it could be increasing your prices or it could be hiring someone in your business and actually spending money to, you know, to help you. And you've got to look for what the underlying story is. So for a lot of women, the underlying story is I have to work hard to make money. I have to bust my butt. I have to put my blood, sweat and tears. How many times have you heard that? Blood, sweat and tears. Like, think of that. You have to bleed. You have to work so hard that you sweat and you have to
and
cry.
Can I put my hand up and say I've said it myself?
It's language, even just the way we talk about money is so embedded in our life that we don't even realize we say things like that. But they really show up where the money block is. And the problem with a money block, like you have to work hard to make money, is that you perpetuate it. You know, you resist hiring people because it can't be easy. You have to do it all yourself and you have to pull all-nighters and you have to sweat for that. And if you didn't, it doesn't count. And if you didn't work so hard for it that you cried, then it doesn't count and it's not worthy. So the working hard is such an insidious one for women, and it will continue to bite you in the butt as you get better in your business. If you've hit an income plateau, just go and look at where you're making it hard or you're trying to make it hard for yourself to fulfill that story. It could be that you are procrastinating, so you have to pull an all-nighter so it counts. Maybe you refuse to systematize your business and you want to reinvent the wheel every time. Hey, guess what? You're just running that pattern of it has to be hard to be worth it. So that's a huge one. And I think most people have got that in some way. But then you might find other subtle ones like it's greedy. It's greedy to want more. You know, I should be happy with what I have. And that can be really tricky if you start to, you know, if you set big money goals that maybe are more than people in your family are earning or more than people who you grew up with are earning. And if you've got that underlying story of it's greedy, you won't increase your prices. You won't make your business systematized. You probably won't create passive income in your business because it's who wants to be greedy? Nobody. So that's a huge one. And another one that I would say really affects a big percentage of women is it's more important to me to help people than make money. And that's a really dangerous story, right? Because it's like, oh, it's mutually exclusive. I can either help people and be useful and make a contribution to the world, or I can be greedy and make money. And those two things, you know, are mutually exclusive. Right. So that's a dangerous one because it feels really good, right? Because you go, oh, well, I'll keep my prices low so everybody can work with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will burn myself out over delivering because it's the good thing to do. It's the nice thing to do.
Or I'll give away everything for free because maybe somebody will find me.
Exactly. And so it's wrapped up in this very dangerous bow of being generous, being fair and compassionate, being equal for everybody, equal opportunity. The problem with that, though, is martyrdom, burnout, resentment. Creative constipation, let's call it, because you have no energy to give for the people that you really want to serve. And I'm not saying that people as in the target market, but people with that underlying story, they really have a desire to help the whole planet. And you can't help the whole planet.
That's right.
You're burning
that's
yourself
right.
out. But if you charge well for what you do, it frees up time and creative energy so you don't have to work and burn out and burn out and burn out. It means you can have energy to write a book or you can write amazing blog posts that millions and millions of people can see but without, you know, without you having to personally sit down with them and read it out to them one by one. And so the problem is it's the paradox, isn't it? Because you want to help everyone and because you're trying to help everyone, you can't help everybody. You're actually making a very small impact. So, you know, the shift to make there is if I charge people, I can help more people. If, you know, the more money I make, the more people I can help. The more people I help, the more money I can make. And it will really free you up to create a lot of things that will be very leveraged, that a lot of people can benefit, and then you'll be able to help more people. So there are, I think, the common ones. It's I have to work hard. It's greedy to want to make money. And I just want to help people and not make money.
I love that. Yes. And I think, I can almost tell the transformation. I think once you kind of get cleared of those blocks, I think it's nothing can stop you, right?
No, until the next one, the next time.
Right. and then it pops up.
Yeah. And then you have to stop and go, what am I making this mean? Oh, it's too easy. I don't feel like I deserve it. And that's why when I say me saying clearing money blocks is a complete lie because it really you don't because it will come up again and again. But the difference is the first time it feels real and it feels insurmountable. The second time it still feels a little real. The more and more times you encounter it, you realize one, it's just a story that you're totally making up. And two, you've got the tools to deal with it and to dance with it. And you know, the biggest tool that you can use, and I've got a million of them, but the biggest tool is awareness. It's just like, oh, that's right. That's that old story. Cool.
Right.
I don't have to deal with that. Cool. That's just the old story.
Right. Awesome. So, Denise, did you ever have any money blocks?
Oh, huge. I have money blocks all the time. And my big one is you have to work hard to make money. It really is.
Right.
It's I come from a single parent family who grew up in council, in a council estate, with all my friends were very similar. You know, they either had either single parents like me or they were welfare families, you know. And so I really felt so guilty when I started making money in my business because I felt bad for my mom. You know, and my mom works in a hospital now. She's retiring next year, which is great. She's only 54, but she's retiring because she's invested in real estate. And she's definitely changed her money mindset as well. But you know, I still sometimes feel really guilty that she has to go to work. And it still hits me sometimes that who am I to make all this money when really I'm just talking to people on the phone.
Right, right.
I'm just like making blog posts. Who am I to make this? So I think I'm very honest about the fact that I'm constantly working my money mindset. Mm-hmm. I constantly read books and try and find new distinctions and new ways of new ahas around money, mm-hmm. because it's incredibly human. And so don't think that money solves your money blocks either.
Mm-hmm, you know? That's right.
It doesn't. We've got that thing in our society, like more money, more problems.
Right.
Which
right.
is not true at all. But I would say more money, same problem. More money, same mindset. And you have to right. you have to work on it. And if you skip a couple of days, it's like not taking a shower. You're going to start to stink and mm-hmm. and the old stuff is going to come back. So I am definitely a student. I say I'm a money expert and a money mindset mentor. So, mm-hmm. you know, because you have to come up with a title. But, you know, I'm a money student.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love that. That's awesome. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about, so you're a new mom.
Yeah, fairly
right?
new mom.
Yes, fairly new mom. Awesome. And congratulations.
Thank you. She's lovely.
So, oh, that's what's her name?
Willow.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she's a awesome. Lovely girl.
That's awesome. So how old is she now?
She's 19 months old.
Nice. And is she running around?
Yes, she's very active. She loves ballet.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a very, very sweet girl. And but I think being a mom has changed. You know, I was always passionate about women and business, mm-hmm. but I think since having her, I've been even more passionate about business as a vehicle for freedom for women and yes. empowerment as well. And also the money work. I do think I've got a better perspective of how important it is, not just so you can have money, you know, to have, go have a facial, which I think is important as well, but so you're empowered and you don't have to do what other people tell you and you're not mm-hmm. stuck. And so many women are stuck in bad marriages or bad situations or just living a life that they don't want to live. And most mm-hmm. of the time it comes down to money and choice, and money gives you so much freedom. It gives you choice. It gives you freedom.
Yeah.
And having a baby has just made that mission for me even stronger.
Yes, I completely agree with it. And I think I have two boys of my own, and I think it's just the freedom of money gives you time to spend with your family.
Absolutely.
You know, so many people I come across have this guilt that they're having to go, you know, for a job 9 to 5 and they have to leave their child aftercare, and, you know, they don't want to. And so that whole guilt just eats them up. And, I guess I'm very thankful that I have this life, and, you know, it's pretty amazing.
And it doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah,
you know? And
absolutely.
So people listening, it's like, if you've ever said to someone, you know, oh, you're so lucky that you can stay at home and you're so lucky you don't have to go to work. Well, it's not luck. It's mm-hmm. it's really setting a huge plan and a huge intention.
Yep.
And it also, yep. I think it takes a lot of courage to want a different life. And it's a game of courage for sure. But
absolutely.
It doesn't happen by accident.
Absolutely. It's definitely by design. And I totally agree. It's a total, you know, it's a game of courage. But as entrepreneurs, you know, we all go through ups and downs. And I'm pretty sure you have been through too.
Sure.
So tell me, how do you get up? How do you, when you're going through the down, how do you get up and say, okay, I'm going to just stop and move on?
Yeah. It's a great question, because I definitely have ups and downs in business. I have, you know, crises of courage or crises of courage. And they don't last very long these days. When I was first in business, they would sometimes last weeks and weeks, you know, and mm-hmm. and now I think it's really important to have a good mastermind of women around you, a great support network, mm-hmm. And also that you get support from the appropriate places. I think sometimes as women, we try and share too much with inappropriate people. And by that, I mean, sometimes you try and talk to your parents about your business. Mm-hmm. And they're really not the best people for you to talk to about
business. Or people that don't understand what you're doing.
No,
right?
Exactly. And I think that can make things worse, because if you're feeling down about your business and then you talk to your uncle like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling, and he's like, well, maybe you should get a job. You know, it's not what you need to hear in that moment.
That's right.
And I used to share my business problems with everybody. And I remember I used to go to this chiropractor, and I would share my business problems with this guy. And I remember him saying, he goes, I think you should change your business name. And I went, oh, really? Why? And he goes, well, I think it implies that you think you're better than everyone. And I totally took that on. And I went, wow, you're right. And I was thinking, this is my chiropractor. And I think we're so susceptible in that moment to take advice from people who have no business giving us advice. So that really helps to have women around you who can go, no, you know, remember, this is your goal. This is your dream. Pull yourself up. You know, you can do it, rather than the people who are kind of keep you down there, you know?
Absolutely. Awesome. All right, Ms. Denise, what is your success factor?
Persistence. It's so boring.
Yeah.
Persistence and consistency. You know, find something that works and keep on doing it. Don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel.
And I think consistency is the key. You know, it's so easy to, when something's working, you do it and then you're like, oh yeah, it's going to keep working, and then just let go of it. Like you said, right? If you don't do something for 2 days, if you don't take a shower for 2 days, you'll stink.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I love that. I'm never going to forget that now.
Yep.
Awesome. Wonderful. All right. Are you ready now for a lightning round?
Yes, I am.
Great. What trophy would you want on your mantle?
You know, just like best friend.
That's nice.
Yeah. I was going to say best mom, and then I was like, no, that just sets up a lot of guilt.
Right.
Just my best friend.
Awesome. And what is your guilty pleasure?
I love reality TV.
All right.
I love, at the moment, I'm really into The Bachelorette in Australia. We just had our very first season of The Bachelorette, and it's so much fun, and I love it, and I follow the Twitter stream, and I text my mom during it, and it's really fun.
Awesome. And what are you currently reading?
I just finished reading The Surrender Experiment. It took me a little while to get into it, but, you know, I tried about 3 times, and I read it on the way back. We had a big car journey on the weekend, and I just read it in the car. I felt so sick towards the end, you know, when you get car sick. But it was a really great book about just being in the right place and just surrendering and just saying yes. It's very interesting.
Interesting. And what is your one productivity tip?
Oh, set strong public deadlines. Otherwise, you don't do it. You can always justify.
So hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, you can always justify to yourself to miss things. But if you're telling people that, you know, oh, my book's coming out tomorrow, or this is happening on this date, people will believe you. And then when people believe you, you start to believe it yourself, and you don't want to let them down. So I am the laziest, most procrastinating person ever, and I just need public deadlines. It's the only way I get things done.
Awesome. I like that. And I don't think I've ever had anybody on the show say that, so that's amazing. What is your personal motto?
The day you do it is your lucky day. So don't wait for the stars to align. Who cares if it's Mercury retrograde? You choose. You choose, and you have total control over your destiny. So you just decide that today is going to be your lucky day.
Love it. And last but not the least, what would you do differently if you were given another chance?
I would just be less hard on myself. You know, I really think second-guessing all your decisions and really having self-hatred or self-doubt is so dangerous and poisonous to women, and it's so useless because no one ever thinks anything about you anyway. Everyone's just thinking about themselves. So just don't, you know, don't go so hard on yourself. Have some self-love and self-compassion, self-forgiveness, and that's all you need.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Denise. This was fun, and I'm sure that people are going to love it.
Yeah, thank you. And I always love hearing from people, so if anyone wants to send me a tweet to say an aha that they got from this, my Twitter is @DeniseDT, and same with my Instagram. And just, yeah, tag me and let me know what aha you've gotten from this interview.
Wonderful. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you so much.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.